Good morning, everyone. Please turn in your blue hymnals to number 6 here in this place, and we will sing verses 1, 2, and 4. Please stand if you can and join me in the singing.
Good morning to all of you here who have gathered to worship our Lord. May you feel God's presence and sense God's love filling this space this morning. So, do you ever think about what this worship time is? Why you come? Why we do this? Do you ever think that it might be risky? Not physically risky, but maybe spiritually or mentally? Do you think maybe things will be different when you come here and when you leave? So I was looking and reading in some worship resources, and this paragraph caught my eye called Risk a Mystery. It is a risk to have come to worship today. This is a place where believers worship what cannot be seen, choose to participate in a living mystery, and try with all of the Spirit's help to allow transformation within their lives, the church, and the world. This is a place where believers try with all of the Spirit's grace to risk letting go of familiar but stubborn ways in order to believe, receive, and love anew. So, to risk letting go of familiar but stubborn ways in order to believe, receive, and love anew. And Psalm 133 caught my eye too. It affirms our coming together here, together in unity, and that is our call to worship. So if you would take your bulletins and we'll read the call to worship. It's based on 133, as it is written. Let us come together with humility. How good a thing it is when all of God's people live together in unity. Though we may be tempted to use harsh words, let us come together with gentleness. How good a thing it is when all of God's people live together in unity. How good a thing it is when all of God's people live together in unity. How the world often encourages hate, let us come together in love. How good a thing it is when all of God's people live together in unity. In humility, gentleness, patience, and love, let us worship the God who has called us together. Let us pray. Holy God, we gather this morning to be church. Bless the songs we sing, the words we hear, and prayers we speak to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd ask you now to turn to Sing the Journey, that's the green book, for number 54, Longing for Light, and we will sing all the verses. Please stand if you can. thank you for your wonderful singing. We are now going on to a piece that many are very, very familiar with, probably have it memorized, number 70 in our hymn books, and we will sing verses 1, 3, and 4. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. 1, 3, and 4.
Ask Galvin to come up with the offerings. Thank you for doing that. Let us pray. God of life, we give these offerings in gratitude, rejoicing in the abundance of your gifts to us. We give these offerings in faith, trusting that you will provide for our needs. We give these offerings in hope, knowing you can use them to spread your love in this world. May we live with generous hearts and open hands. Amen.
We will follow. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we humble ourselves before you. We worship at your throne. And as we come before you, especially gathered here today in what you have called your house of prayer, we come by your invitation and we bring the things you've invited us to bring, which is everything. We want to recognize that you are our God. We believe in you. You are God of those who also do not believe, or who believe differently, or who express it differently. Give us the grace to recognize you everywhere. Help us to demonstrate your love the way you demonstrate it to us, the way we feel it and know it in our bones. Help us also to ooze your love in ways that we can't even understand ourselves by your Holy Spirit. And this may be in our own neighborhoods with family members who have different expressions, with open doors and readiness and eagerness to see people in our communities that we've never seen before, eagerly awaiting their arrival. But help us also not to only sit and wait hospitably, but also to take a step to move towards those who need care, attention, companionship, a kind word, and encouragement. We pray for those who are struggling physically, who are wondering what's going on. May your Spirit encourage them, give them assurance of your attention. We pray for those who have very recently undergone surgery. We pray for healing, ongoing care, not only physically, but emotionally and spiritually. These times of trial are like an open door, and we pray that you would rush in and be present in a way that we admit we don't allow you to be present in our lives when we're strong and capable and in a hurry and we know what's going on. Thank you for reminding us that you own this world. This is your world. You are immortal, invisible, and God only wise. But we have a lot to complain about, especially in the war between Russia and the Ukraine. And we lift our prayers together with the prayers of everyone else around the world. And we pray for your peace. And we know and we see what happens when you allow people who don't deserve it to have power. We don't understand this. And you also allow us to make our own choices and decisions, and then things come crashing down around us. We don't understand this either, but we bring it to you. The way Ingrid has reminded us about all of those who have lost their lives in Seoul, all those youth who had so much potential, and we pray for family and friends and wondering, why does this sort of thing happen? What can we do? We, the church, in so many different ways, also need your strength and wisdom and direction. So we pray for the chaplaincy of Swift Current. We pray for the pastor and the people in Carrot River. And we pray for all of those in leadership roles, especially in the churches, that your church would be your church, that we would follow, like we have sung, we will follow Jesus. Give us eyes to see where you are desiring to lead us. Help us to get it out of park and into drive. Moving, following the way you want to move and guide and lead us. We pray for the flooding that is happening in Nigeria and all of those who have lost their livelihoods, their lives. We pray for governments that are supposed to take care of people in disaster, as we have seen through so many recent storms. We pray for our government. Help us to choose to pray for them rather than complain about them. That we would be people who demonstrate your kingdom, that we would be living differently by your power only. And so we pray just the way you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
We are now going to sing in voices together, number 149, if you have the book, and it is entitled Forgive Us, Forgive Us, Holy God. This is totally new to us, so it's up on the screen, so I'm just going to ask Grace to play through it once for us.
Forgive us, The scripture passage today is from the book of Habakkuk, and I'll be reading the first four verses of the first and second chapters. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack, and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. This is the reading of God.
If there ever were a Sunday for silence, or to simply contemplate the things that we have sung and heard, today really seems to have been one of those days. I really must appreciate the song leaders, the people who choose music for us to be able to express the deep things of our faith. Very, very effective messages. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, as we come before you and your word, be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to try and follow the directions that God gave to Habakkuk or Habakkuk, one way or the other. I don't know what's the right way to say his name, but I'm going to go back and forth. I am sure I will make a mistake in it, but that's okay. But the directions that were given to this prophet were write it on the tablet, make it very clear, make it very plain, so that anyone who is running by will be able to read it. So a runner can read it. Well, I never run, number one, and I never read while I am trying to run. And sometimes they say the interpretation of this particular verse could mean, you know, they've written it on a wall and anyone who is rushing by in the marketplace can just see it and know it, you know, like a billboard or something like that. So I'm going to do what I hate to do. It is to give away the end right at the beginning. But that is in case anyone here needs to run away, or in case our attention runs away. That happens. The conclusion is we need to be able to recognize pride, but choose faith. Seems simple. Recognize pride, but choose faith. And I've labeled this Proud Boys Playbook. And some of you who know what's going on in the news recognize the reference to the Proud Boys. And I plucked that out of the verse in Habakkuk, the proud, Look at the spirit of the proud. Their spirit is not right within them. So let's think about the Proud Boys and the playbook. And when we say playbook, this is the tactics or the plans that they use, or if you're into football, you know, these are the plays. This is what we're going to do, and everybody needs to be coordinated and follow the play, which stands to reason. But when we want to recognize what those plays are so that we ourselves can make good choices, we have to have our eyes open to know, what is the play? How can we recognize pride? Because that's at the heart of it all. We know that Halloween is coming up very soon. I believe it's tomorrow, isn't it? My days are kind of schmertz together. But everybody's dressing up, pretending to be something that they are not. In fact, my niece is at Comic-Con in Winnipeg today, and she was demonstrating her costume and showing pictures and makeup and all of that. And even when she was dressed up, I still didn't know who she was. I knew it was my niece, but I didn't know what character it was because I'm not in touch with all. I'm too old for that. And the things that they dress up now as is just beyond me. It used to be Robin Hood in my day. But anyway, that's going off of the track. So we're in the time when people are dressing up or pretending to be what they are not. And so the task of recognizing is so much more important. We need to be able to recognize pride. This text, this prophet, was written in a time when there was a lot of turmoil in their world. Let me just give you the historical context for those who love history. It was written around 600 and some BC, during the time of Josiah, which we know, or sort of know, was the good king, Josiah. However, Josiah was dead. And the son, who was supposed to be in power in his place, had been thrown into prison. And so the rightful heir was not on the throne. The good king was not in power anymore. And then this other son, this usurper, was in power, and he was not doing them any favors. So it was a really bad time historically. When people are under authority that is not following godly principles, people suffer. And I don't think we would even need to have this historical context to appreciate the words that Margaret just read for us from Habakkuk. We could hear our present-day history right then and there. And many of us pray on a daily basis. Verse 2, O Lord, how long are we going to cry for help and you won't listen? Or we cry, violence, and you're not saving us. Why do we have to look at all of this violence, this death, this suffering, this trouble? Our world seems to be falling apart. And the Proud Boys, if we're going to recognize them, the Proud Boys playbook would say, fear, fear in capital letters, hashtag fear everything, fear everyone. Because look at this, look at everything around us. Fear is the foundation of the Proud Boys playbook. And once we have people afraid enough, they will go chasing or not chasing. They will run hither and thither and try to find some kind of a solution. Fear is the first play. However, faith is what we are encouraged to live by. Now, you might be thinking, okay, fear and pride are not going together. But the Proud Boys are saying, fear all of these things because we have the answer for you. Okay, so we want to make you afraid, first of all. Think for yourselves, the information that you are taking in on a daily basis, is it creating or increasing that sense of fear within you? Recognize it. Recognize that the people who are giving you this information are trying to create more fear within you. Just recognize it. If we are believers in God, we have to live by that belief. Then we have to take the faith that we say that we have in the God that we say that we believe in. Are we ready to really believe that God is all-powerful in real life? Can we live by that faith? Can we go out of this church where it's very nice and safe and cozy and we mostly agree and go into the real world and still believe that? Can we still maintain that? Either we actually believe it or we don't. Either, this seems to be a dichotomy, either we believe that God is good and just. Most of us would believe that. God is good and just, or we believe that God is omnipotent, all-powerful. Either we believe God has the power, or we believe that God is good. And this prophet is challenging us, and we are encouraged to remember not either or. God is good, and God is all-powerful. And then we look around us and we say, but why? Together with the prophet. And that's why I say, together with the prophet, choose the one whom you are going to follow or whose information you are going to believe. Do you want to live by fear? Or are we going to live by the faith that you have? Live by that faith, not the fear. Recognize when people are trying to make you afraid, then come back and read Habakkuk. Look how short it is. It's just a couple of pages. We didn't read nearly all of it. And the prophet himself, after saying, how long? Why are you not answering me, God? Then in verse 12 of chapter 1 says, are you not from of old, O Lord my God, my Holy One? You shall not die. My rock, your eyes are too pure to behold evil. Remind yourself of the truths that you know about God. Maybe you don't feel it. That's okay. Know what God says about God's self. That's the first step in living by that faith. Recognize pride. Okay, now where does the pride come in? Actually, disbelief stems from pride. Can you believe that? Disbelief stems from pride. I know better than what you are trying to convince me of. I don't have to follow that or listen to that. Even to what God says about God's self. Look at Genesis chapter 3. They're in the Garden of Eden, the perfect place, and communing with God, and still looking and wanting something else, something more, something different. Maybe what God said wasn't really right. I know better. I know more. And so when we know that God says who God is, and then I turn on the television and I listen to what CNN or CTV or CBC or Fox News or whatever you listen to, what they say, and suddenly what God says doesn't hold as much weight anymore. And our pride, our human pride, says we understand more. Take a step back and say, whoa, I recognize pride. Not just in myself, but even in the people who are feeding me information. The second step in the playbook of the Proud Boys is urgency. We have got to take care of matters. We've got to do something. Look, they're coming, they're coming. The sky is falling, the sky is falling. What's that little kid's story where that the hen and something or other? Anyway, some of you know that reference. I can't remember it now. But we feel like the world is falling apart. Oh, the Russians are coming. Or this is going to happen. Or the wrong party is going to be voted in. What's going to happen? Urgency. You know, red banners, caps everywhere. Just like, ah! Recognize, oh, this is a Halloween costume. This is a costume, and someone is trying to get me to think this is something. And remind ourselves, I choose to live by my faith, not have my faith in my pocket, in my device that I can turn off or just stick in my pocket or my purse or slam in my car door or whatever. I actually have it inside of myself, and I am going to live by it, by my choice. And some might be saying, well, we are supposed to be activists, are we not? We are a peace church, and we are supposed to be working for peace, working for justice, working to overcome the evils that are in our world. Yes or no? Yes! Recognize, however, when pride is the voice of urgency, we've got to do something about this. We've got to change this without the foundation of recognizing who God is and the readiness to follow. We sang it. We will follow Jesus, yes. And then we turn around and we decide we're going to take matters into our own hands and we're going to fix things, or even the desire in our heart to fix things. Urgency. Don't allow the woke culture of our time to be the urgency that drives you or even drives your thinking. Do not allow it. Say and feel and recognize in yourself, I choose to live by faith. Now, why? Why bother? Why choose to live by the faith instead of the pride? The Proud Boys, they're big and strong. They get things done. They have lots of followers and so on and so forth. Well, look at chapter 2. The prophet says, look, I am going to wait. Hardest thing to do when you think things need to get done. You're going to wait. Come on, we don't have time to wait. This prophet says, I am going to stand at my watch, station myself, keep watch and see. And then God answers. And God says, there is a time. There is a time. You might not know what it is. Do you know when you are going to die? No, you do not know. Therefore, there are many dates that we do not know. We don't know how God is moving in this world. Now, I'm not trying to scare you into something else. Prepare to die. No! But recognize God says, I have a time and a purpose. There is a time. Wait for it. Wait for it. If you truly believe that there is actually going to be an answer, is God actually going to act? If you don't believe it, well, then don't bother waiting. So when you find in yourselves maybe those particles of pride and say, I'm not even thinking about waiting for God. Why? Am I too proud? Do I think I have the answers? But if we have the faith, live by it, because it is the difference between life and death. For those writing down scripture passages, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 9. God is not slow concerning his promises. There is a time. Don't think it is urgent. Don't let someone else's urgency affect you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, which is a reiteration of this verse. My righteous one will live by faith. Live by the faith that you have. And faith is the essential oils. That's a key phrase for some of us. We know what essential oils are and what they mean and their benefits. Faith is that essential oil, because life does not come from our goodness and our righteousness and all the wonderful deeds that we will done, even if we work at the MCC store. Even that, good work is not quite good enough. It's good, it's great, it's wonderful. Live by your faith. Faith in Jesus Christ is the essential oils. Write down Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Chapter 3, verse 22. Chapter 4, verse 11 and 13. Chapter 5, verse 1. Because we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And so then we can sit and watch at the rampart. We can see what God will say to us, knowing God sees, God cares, God longs for justice. And then if you continue with Habakkuk, you will also come to the place in chapter 3, verse 17, even though the fig tree doesn't blossom, even though there's no olives, even though the flock is cut off, there's no herd, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because we choose faith. Our faith is not based on the circumstances or the urgency or the fear, but faith is the character within. Look at the proud. Your character is not right. Sometimes I am in the proud group. I'm not always in the faith group. Sometimes I'm in the proud group, like the Proverbs. Sometimes I'm in the what is slothful group. And then I have to be reminded and I have to come back. Work. Get up. Do something. Sometimes each of us is in the proud boys. And we are reminded to leave that because, look, the spirit is not right within the proud. Choose faith, because faith is the victory.
The books are on stand in the back. We are now going to sing 589, Encamped Among the Hills, or as Lois just said, faith is the victory. So if you don't have a red Mennonite hymnal, maybe you just want to pop to the back and get one. I'll just give you a minute. Does anybody need one? Thank you for your words of encouragement, Lois. Encouragement to live by faith and not by fear, which is huge in our world today. Okay, we have people handing out hymn books. Please stand if you can. Number 589, we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
Please bow for the benediction. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, it is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen.
You will now see on the screen hymn number 839, and we will sing verse A, for some reason not one, but A, and it is Go Ye Now in Peace.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.
Thank you.